operation bill, a briefing by the department. But before that, well, of course, the bill was referred also from the NA. They completed the process for consideration by the NCOP. So we quite very happy that the process is coming to almost towards a conclusion, that the NCOP is considering the briefing today. So, honorable members, there are apologies that we received, and both honorable members are not here as a result of the Eid, end of the Ramadan. I think they are on their way to Parliament. We receive the apologies, but also honorable member Mutara, the alternate member, is in attendance. Honorable J. Julius is also joined the committee. And thank for that, honorable Julius. You're most welcome. But I think just to ease the interaction, I will request members once more just introduction, and as well I will ask Treasury just to make a formal introduction as well, and will allow the Treasury to proceed in taking us through the presentation and feel comfortable so that we adequately deal with the bill and understand whatever that we want to clarify ourselves, what the bill contains, before we table it on Thursday as the Council of Provinces for approval. Thanks. My name is Seiso Mohai. There's a tendency that I'm a chair, I always ask other people to introduce themselves. I forget. I'm Seiso Mohai. Thanks. Let's start from you, Sean.
My name is Charles Beard, and I'm from the Northern Cape.
Jacques Julius, Gauteng.
Jean from Brandes, Western Cape.
Pauline Lennox, Kayla from Eastern Cape.
The Quincy Gamasasu team, Northwest.
Okay, thanks, members. Can I ask Treasury to say?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm in Swanepoel and I'm in the budget office of the National Treasury.
I am Raquel Ferreira. I'm also in the budget office of the National Treasury.
Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Steve Kenyon in the Intergovernmental Relations Division of the National Treasury.
Okay. Thanks very much. People that are well known, the one next to me here, Baba Alwa, the secretary of the committee, and Estelle, they've been with this committee. So they always help to orientate us, and other members, of course, of the finance committee that are in attendance. I've seen very good cooperation between the appropriation and finance. Maybe it's because of his background, that in any case it was worth. So they still remain together in terms of coordinating the work, which makes our tasks together with the chair of finance quite very easy and very productive, I think. Thanks very much. Let me, honorable members, you got the agenda, and the brief of this meeting is to deal with the appropriation bill and the consideration of the draft report. Will be the last item that we'll do. So let's go through the briefing. Mr. Henny Sonnepoel, the Chief Director of Budget Office, together with the team, can take us through. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Members, thank you very much for this opportunity for us to give you a quick briefing on the appropriation bill. You would have seen, I'm sure, that we've handed out copies of the presentation, and there's quite a number of detailed slides in there. I'm going to go into some of the detail. If you feel that it is too much detail and giving too much information, please feel free to stop me and just kick me in a different direction. We'll be quite happy to deal with that. So to just start off Just a bit of a background around the legislative process, then I'll talk a bit about the actual structure of the bill and how it's been constructed, and then there are also a few slides just giving you a taste of some of the money matters and what has been allocated through this bill. So the appropriation bill was originally tabled in Parliament at the time of the budget in February by the Minister of Finance. Now, once that process is complete, there are a few steps that have to be finalised in order to get the bill formally approved. The Money Bills Amendment Procedures and the Related Matters Act guides us in that process. So the first step was for Parliament to consider and to provide a report to the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces to look at the fiscal framework. In other words, the total cake that is available for distribution in the budget. That has to happen within 16 days after the bill being tabled, and it was finalised on the 6th of March, according to plan. I think then the next step is around ensuring that we get the division of revenue between the different spheres of government approved. So the division of revenue bill is the next step that has to be passed within 35 days after the adoption of the fiscal framework. That also went through on the 26th of April 2014. So in other words, we've kind of already agreed on what is the pot of money, and we have already agreed on who's going to get which part of that pot in the different spheres of government. The last piece of the puzzle is then to finalise the appropriation. In other words, the piece of legislation that empowers departments to spend their money. And that has to be finalised by the 31st of July, within 4 months of the start of the financial year. So therefore, I think a bit of a rush to get that finalised at this point. The bill, the original bill that was submitted, lapsed at the time of the time of the last sitting of Parliament. But the National Assembly revived the bill on the 18th of June. Now, you might ask, then, how is it possible for departments to spend if there's no kind of legal framework in place at the moment in the form of an approved appropriation? The PFMA in Section 29 does allow space for spending to happen, and the rules in terms of that provide that departments are allowed to spend 45% of their previous financial year's budget in the new financial year. In other words, there is some space for departments to move, and then after that, it's 10% per month in addition to that. Now, you know, we all know that inflation is a big issue when departments start spending. If you only have what you had last year and now you are kind of constrained by that, it is very difficult for departments to really start committing and implementing some of the important programs. So it's quite important that this piece of legislation actually gets through the process as quickly as possible in order to allow departments to start spending their money, start focusing on specific programs within their ambit. So that's roughly the kind of legal background. Honourable Chair, I'm not sure to what amount of detail I should go into the Act, but I thought let me just very briefly give the Honourable Members a sense of what is included.
Yeah, Henry, we do agree with you. You must feel free to not also serve as a basic orientator.
Yes.
Very well, ground us as well, so you must go as much as possible.
Right. Thank you, Chair. Yeah. As I said before, please, if I go into too much detail, we sometimes tend to drone on a bit about the things that we enjoy and love. So, broadly speaking, the bill is divided into the different votes, which is roughly the departments as we know them, and then each of those departments are broken down into main divisions as is required by the law, and those main divisions are broadly the programs that the departments spend their money on. For each of the votes, there's a detailed aim that kind of gives you a sense of what the department is supposed to do, of those programs, there's a program purpose that is stipulated to give you an idea of exactly how that falls together. Now, if you turn to the Act, you know, I've got a copy of page 17. Health, I think, is a good example that just gives you those specific items. Then what we do is we also then categorize the items of expenditure into the different categories that we spend on, or the input items that we purchase in government. At the highest level, we distinguish between current payments, so this is all the normal kind of operational type expenditure within a department, which mainly includes compensation of employees, which is a fairly big ticket item for government as a whole, and then goods and services. So goods and services would be anything from bottled water to consultants to learner and teacher support materials, medicines. All of those kind of items will be included in spending on goods and services. Then there's the item transfers and subsidies. That is all money that is not directly spent by the department, but it's actually transferred by a department to another institution or another individual. So typically included in there would be the Social Security grants. So this is a reasonably big item in the national appropriation. But then also transfers to non-profit institutions, transfers to private businesses. If you think of provinces, things like the bus subsidies that we pay would be transfer payments to private bus companies that will be recorded under that item in the Act. Then there's payments for capital assets, and those are just all the capital items that we purchase. So that would typically be machinery and equipment, so anything from graders that we buy in the roads building projects to computers that departments purchase, those kind of items would go in there. But then also all the spending on our big infrastructure projects. So typically roads building, buildings that we build, hospitals, schools, those kind of things would pop up in that item. And then the final item is payments for financial assets, which is a bit of a confusing item. You know, as you know, government is running cash accounting. The rest of the world and the private sector is running accrual accounts. But there are some accrual transactions that we have to provide for in our books. And this is just the item that deals with those kind of transactions. You will see that usually these are small items. I think the largest one relates to the loan that was made to Gauteng a few years back for the Gautrain project. And the interest and capital movements and equity movements related to that type of transaction. As I say, the small category that we really use. If you then look at the Act, you will see that within each main division, there are also items that are marked with a little asterisk. These are items that are specifically and exclusively appropriated for that purpose. In other words, in the budget process, we have agreed with the department that specific money gets set aside. Once that money gets appropriated, the department is not allowed to use it for any other purpose than what it was originally intended for. That way, we want to ensure that as Parliament agrees to a budget, that budget actually ends up being spent in the way that it was originally intended. You will also see that all conditional grants are listed as specifically and exclusively. These are the conditional grants that we make from national departments to provinces and to local government. Again, to ensure that the national departments can't move money out of those grants without coming back to Parliament in order to get that approved. I think that broadly touches on the bill and the structure of the bill and what's included in there. We thought that it would be useful for us to just kind of again take a step back before we look at the numbers and kind of just get a kind of a refresher as to what it is that guides us when we go into the appropriations process. And I think that links back to kind of our fiscal policy initiatives and agreements that we've got in place. As you know, there are three broad principles at this point that that kind of dictates or guides fiscal policy: counter-cyclicality, in other words, government trying to support the economy when the economy is in a downturn. So our fiscal policy always focuses at trying to even out the playing fields in difficult times. Then there's the whole issue of debt sustainability. I think that is not just critically important for government, but for everybody in this country. It's very important that we ensure that we do not indebt ourselves to the point where we cannot repay. I think the danger with the huge debt stock is when it comes to debt service costs. And you will see when we get to the numbers, the debt service cost numbers have increased quite dramatically over the last few years, because we've increased our debt stock quite substantially since 2008, and that is really at some point going to impact service delivery if we do not manage that properly. And then there's the whole issue of intergenerational fairness, in other words, making sure that we don't take from our children and our children's children in the way that we spend money today, so that we don't burden them with our decisions at this point. This is a terribly difficult balancing act that we have to or that government has to kind of embark on, because on the one hand we want to try and support the economy in times when the economic growth is not looking great. If you've looked at the newspapers and stuff the last few months, you will see that we are in a terrible bind at the moment. But in that process, we also need to ensure that we kind of consolidate the fiscus and that we keep things under control, so that we don't try and spend us out of trouble but into debt. So for us, it is very important that we focus on the composition of spending. In other words, what areas and what items of spending should be the important ones to deal with. Now, as the appropriation bill lies on the table at the moment, capital is still the fastest growing item of non-interest expenditure. So there's a huge amount of money that is set aside for capital and infrastructure investment. I think we are in a great position that our social wage, in other words, spending on health, education, and social development, continues to grow in real terms. So there's some real increases on those spending items. But where the Treasury has been doing a lot of work is trying to really clamp down on, I don't want to call it frivolous expenditure, for fear of getting into serious trouble, but there are some items that are of less importance when we think about spending, things like traveling, catering, consultants, you know, the normal stuff that I think hits the newspapers, administrative expenditure, those kind of items. So for us, that is an important area of work that the Treasury is involved in at the moment to try and deal. And it also guides the budget preparation process for next year's budget. let me kind of go into a bit more detail on that specific issue. In December last year, the National Treasury issued a set of cost containment measures, which basically puts down very specific limits for the use of funding for things like conferences, travel, entertainment, those items. Now, you know, I'm happy to report that in the reports that we have been compiling, it is fairly clear that spending on these items have flattened out completely, and in some departments we've actually started seeing declines. Now remember, this is declines in nominal terms. In other words, in real terms it would be some serious declines in departmental spending levels. So that, I think, is a positive sign. Ourselves and the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation have also launched a whole set of expenditure reviews where we kind of investigate and look into specific areas of spending, specific projects, specific programs, sometimes even specific departments, in order to get a sense of where the money goes, what we're buying, and what is the efficiency of spending. Because that I think is a very important aspect of spending that we need to consider. Now there are a few of these expenditure reviews that are fairly close to completion, and those will then form part of the budget process this year, leading up to budget 2015. In other words, going into our medium-term expenditure committee processes where the budget gets discussed and the proposals get finalized. And we're hoping that by the time that the Ministers' Committee on the Budget has approved it, that those proposals will then come through to committees like yourselves, where this will then be finally considered and adjustments made to departmental allocations in order to ensure that we get those kind of efficiencies. We're also doing a lot of work with provincial treasuries to identify some of the problem spending areas in provinces and provincial departments, also with the focus of improving spending at that level. Our chief procurement officer has been appointed and has been active now for quite a few months. The office is kind of growing and he's got quite a few hands on deck at the moment. And they are working at looking at central processes of procurement in order to ensure that we get value for money and that we get proper procurement processes for some of the bigger spending items. Of course, that has to be balanced within our kind of procurement environment, ensuring that we give small businesses an opportunity to participate in the procurement process. But those are all kinds of issues that they are considering. I think there's been one or two breakthroughs where between CBO and the Office of the Accountant General, they've also identified irregular type procurement processes, and some money has come back to the state from that already. We are also working on the revisions to the treasury regulations. Sorry, that will focus specifically on oversight over public entities. I think that's one area, and when we talk about the consolidated budget in a minute or two, you will get a sense of why it is that this is an important area. But what we are seeing is that there are some entities that are building up reserves. There are some entities that are not always following the kind of rules and cost containment measures and things that we implement in the way that they, if I can call it, mother departments would do. So in that sense, I think it is important that we focus on those entities and also get a handle on that part, because it is a reasonable size of the general pot of money that goes there. Now, with all of this said, in budget 2014 was a very tough budget. As you know, we have been preaching spending ceilings throughout government, and it's got a common agreed policy that we will stay within our expenditure limits. But even within that, in last year's or in this budget, there's 38.8 billion rands worth of allocations that we proposed to Parliament as being money that can be allocated to departments. Now, where we got this 38.8 billion, 19.6 billion rand was due to expenditure reductions that was taken from departments. So we went through an extensive process during last year's budget preparation, where we went into various different programs, activities, identified a lot of frivolous expenditure, a lot of programs that are not performing, that then all contributed to this kind of savings number. I hope that I can call it an initial savings number, because with the work that we are doing now, we are still focusing on digging even further. Then there was 14.7 billion of additional money that was provided through the fiscal framework. Now this money is mainly in the third year of the MTEX. The first 2 years have already been committed from the previous year. There wasn't much space, but in the third year, as this is the first time that we budget for that year, there was some money available that got allocated. And then we took a small piece from the contingency reserve. Now, annually we do that. Contingency reserve is a reasonably large sum of money, and then as we move deeper into the MTF process, we take some money from there. But I think the good news is even though times are very tough, there's still close to 40 billion rand that we were able to kind of suck out of the system and allocate. Now just to quickly touch on the structure of the budget. These things can sometimes be a bit confusing and sometimes very technical. Please shout at me if anything is kind of from going into too much detail. But roughly speaking, when the Minister of Finance talks about the consolidated deficit, the minister is then talking about the spending of the whole of consolidated government, which includes our Social Security Fund, the UIF, Road Accident Fund, Compensation Fund, examples of those. All the public entities that's under government control, so that would be the Social Security Agency, SARS, those kind of entities, and then also the provincial budgets. Now for each of these spheres, if you look at the picture, you will see that there's a piece in red and a piece in white. The piece in red actually comprises the piece of money that is transferred from the main budget to those levels. So if you go to this appropriation bill, you will see that for Social Security Fund and for the public entities, there's actually a transfer payment written up that is appropriated as a revenue item that then goes to those entities. But then they also have their own piece of revenue that then gets added to the bigger picture. So effectively what you will be considering when you're looking at the appropriation bill is that grey block, which is the main budget portion that includes the transfers to the other level. And that roughly speaking is how the consolidated budget is structured. Not going to go into too much detail on inter-sphere type transactions. That's just going to confuse people. Then, honourable members, just to give you a sense of what is happening to consolidated expenditure, we prepared this this slide. As you will remember, as I said before, you will see that debt service costs is growing quite nicely. It's unfortunately the strongest growing item in our budget. This is the real kind of growth. I think we've kind of we've got it under control in the sense that if you look at the growth in the latter period, which is 13-14 to 16-17, those are the red bars. The growth has slowed down quite considerably compared to the previous period, which is a good sign, but still, that first period, the growth was from a very low base. So, even though it looks good, it is still quite an alarming kind of a number. I think the nice story to see in all of this is that our spending on capital assets, in other words, the last column, in the middle of the slide actually, payments for capital assets, you will see, is growing at 4.8% in real terms for consolidated budget, which is a reasonably sizable growth in capital. That implies that our capital stock actually increases by 4.8% over the period, or over the NTEF. Which is a very good number for us at this point. The other item to note is compensation of employees. You will see that compensation of employees has grown quite a lot between 2010-11 and 2013-14, the blue bar, 5.2%. A lot of that was driven by an increase in the number of government officials in headcount. So typically headcount in education, in health, and in police has driven that sizable increase. I think we are now at a point where our compensation budget is under severe strain, and therefore the growth over the MTF period much lower than what we have seen in previous years. Then the spending items on goods and services, you will also see there's some strong growth over the MTF. As I said before, remember this is medicine, school books, those kind of items, infrastructure type consultants and those items that we spend on. So yes, there's some strong growth in goods and services, but from our point of view, those are the, can I call them the good goods and services. So it's the kind of things the government would like to invest money in, and it's not frivolous kind of expenditure. There's also a bit of a decline in transfers and subsidies. That is mainly just because of rescheduling of some of the subsidies in the DTI to private businesses that we've had a relook at. Remember, this is at the consolidated level. So that, roughly speaking, the picture. I think the good news story is that compensation, slow growth, capital, strong growth, even though we are within a ceiling kind of a budget. We've then also broken it down by function. And what you will see is that in the priority areas of government, the growth is still quite strong. So in this table, the red bars indicates the growth from last year over the MTF, and then the grey bars would be the growth before that period, in other words 10-11 to 13-14. So employment and social security, some strong growth. I think higher education is a very interesting one, because it looks as if we had some massive growth in the history and now suddenly we are not interested in higher education anymore. That is not the case. It's mainly just because in the base years of 10-11, there was a lot less money that went through the NSFAS. So because of the changes to the NSFAS allocation, those numbers look a bit funny. So we're growing from a very low base when we go into those numbers. So included in that higher education number would also then be the higher education transfer. So the transfers we make to the university. I think that's for the rest, as you can see, general government services, defense, science, and economic services, I think there we have done quite a bit of work as the National Treasury around focusing on kind of getting spending levels under control and putting cost containment measures in place. So we are seeing quite a bit of a decline in those functions. I think in basic education, which is also an item of concern, we had huge growth and now suddenly the growth slows down. That is mainly related to adjustments that we have made to the allocations for the capital programs in basic education, just to ensure that we align the budget to the capacity to spend within that environment. So there are some cuts in that, and when you look at the back pages of the slides and you look at function-based basic education, you will see the magnitude of those. I don't think that honourable members should be concerned about those. Those monies have been rescheduled into future MTF years. We are all not very happy about the fact that spending on those items are not running at the pace that they should, but what we considered is the fact that we would actually have to indicate to the market that we are going to borrow money that at this point in time we are not convinced is going to be spent. So that was kind of moved out by a year or two. So that roughly, in a consolidated sense, the functions that we will be spending on. Now remember, and do not get confused between what you see on this versus what is included in the bill. If you think back about that slide previously, we're talking just about the grey block when we talk about the bill. These numbers is actually the big red dotty block, if I can call it that. In other words, it's the total consolidated spending on basic education for national provinces and any entities that relate to that. Of course, infrastructure spending, one of the big priorities that we are investing in. We view this as a way for us to support long-term economic growth and development in the country. This number has been in the press for some time, 847 billion we will be spending within the public sector. However, the portion that goes into the appropriation bill, which is the piece that we are looking at now, is 116.8 billion. In other words, that is the piece of infrastructure spending that national departments will be engaging in, and not the rest of government. So if you go through the list, the big departments, transport, that's got a lot to do with our road infrastructures and the money that's going through to PRASA for the rolling stock and our investment in train infrastructure. Human settlements, there it is the housing, human settlement type spendings. In cooperative governments and traditional affairs, that's money that goes through to local governments for infrastructure investment. Basic education, those are the school building programs. So even though I said before that we've rescheduled some of that money, there's still 35 billion rand over the MTEF that goes into that piece of the infrastructure pot, which is a huge amount of money that needs to be spent. Then in water affairs, there we're talking things like bulk water supply and those types of items. So if you look at the 14-15 list of numbers, in the appropriation bill, 116.8 billion will be provided for. Then there's the other piece of general government. We'll be spending about 22 billion. So these would be the public entities, social security funds, and their contribution to infrastructure. And then we've got, of course, the big public enterprises, state-owned companies, so that would be the ESCOM money and those kind of items that will then add to the total of 272 billion for the law. we've got quite a lot of detail about all the different spending areas. I'm going to touch on some of these, and I'm not going to go into too much detail on each of these sheets. I think on this one, the social infrastructure, in some sense, this is just for information purpose, because most of this was already approved when the Division of Revenue Act was approved. So things like the human settlement capacity grant, the regional bulk infrastructure grant, all of those allocations were finalized as part of the Division of Revenue Act. They are now listed as specifically and exclusively in this bill in order to ensure that departments can't touch them. And our colleagues from Intergovernmental Relations make sure that nobody gets into that domain. So to get to the actual appropriations bill, just to give you a sense of the magnitudes of who gets what, the total is 635 billion rand that's going to be allocated. This excludes the provincial equitable share, which is separated in terms of the constitution, which is not voted on by parliament. There's a constitutional requirement to provide for that. And then also debt service costs is a first charge on the revenue fund. So we can't decide in our appropriation legislation that we don't want to pay the debt service costs. Unfortunately, that comes off first before we can spend. Now, of the balance then, we provided for, in the first year, 4.1 billion rand to accommodate spending pressures on compensation of employees. As you will remember, we had an agreement of CPI plus 1%. But what happens is by the time that we do the budgets, the CPI is just an estimate. And then once the final numbers come through, an adjustment needs to be made to the actual CPI plus 1%. And CPI has kind of turned against us a bit in previous budgets, and therefore we had to provide for some additional funding for departments on that. There's also some issues around clerks that had to be sorted out, and that also impacted quite a bit on the compensation budget. Then social development, 20% of our budget. Of that, 121 billion rand will be going to social assistance grants. The Department of Police is getting 11.4%. You know, just a portion of that visible policing adds up to 57 billion. That's 5.8% of the total appropriation bill. Cooperative governance, 9.9%, which includes the local government equitable share and some of the transfers. And then transport, as I said before, quite a bit of money going in there. Just the rail transport program in itself taking 15 billion out of the total available appropriation. These I'm just going to, you know, quickly touch on. This is kind of straightforward stuff that honourable members can look at. Department of Defence is getting some money. I think they are quite happy that there was a small allocation made towards the Air Force that has been under severe strain over the last few years. Higher education gets quite a sizable portion, 24.2 billion being transferred to our higher education institutions. That excludes money that then, in addition to that, also goes through the NSFAS as loans and grants to students. Health, also probably a small share in this picture, and people might be kind of concerned as to the fact that we only spend 5.3%, but remember, we're now talking about the national appropriation. And at the national level, the National Department of Health is actually fairly small if compared to the whole health sector, because mainly the services get delivered at provincial level. So this is just a piece of national department plus some of the national health grants that runs through the national department. So those are roughly the numbers. Then just as a kind of a last point, this year is an interesting year because we will be requiring quite a few technical adjustments to our appropriation legislation, and that mainly relates to the President's new cabinet portfolios that have to be accommodated within this process. The Department of Public Service and Administration is running a project called the NMOS project, National Macro Organization of the State project, that focuses on getting this process finalized. If all goes according to plan, most of that work will be finalized by November 2014, which implies that for this year in the adjustment budget and for next year in the Appropriation Bill 2015, there will have to be some adjustments made of a technical nature in order to provide for those departments. For these to take effect in the adjustments budget, our minister already provided proposals to the National Assembly on the 25th of July in terms of the Money Bills Act, in order to then just establish these new votes within the appropriation. But if you receive that piece of documentation, you will see that at this point in time, there's no money in there. So it is just kind of setting up those departments. We're just creating them at this point. There's basically, at this point, no funding that's going to go through to those departments. Most of those departments are either previous departments that's been kind of broken up or divided up, or pieces of departments being moved around. So what will happen is that from existing budget allocations, those departments will be funded. As you know, the rule in finances is funds follow function. So as the functions move, the funds will also be moved. So for the time being, the departments will have a kind of a memorandum of understanding between the two departments in order to just agree on all the accountability arrangements and expenditure arrangements, assign the PFMA responsibilities and things like that, in order to ensure that those departments are properly set up and that the process runs in the way that it should. And then hopefully by October this year, we will get to a first round of kind of moving of the money and providing for those departments a separate vote. But by next year in the appropriation bill, then all of that will be finalized. And that is my story, honourable members. You will see that at the back there is a whole set of tables that provides detail of each of the functional groups and the work that was done leading up to the finalization of the appropriation bill. It indicates to you where cuts were made and how those cuts were then utilized in order to finance different programs within the appropriation. I'm not going to go through all of that. There's about 12 or so pages of very detailed allocations that I'm sure you are looking forward to reading one afternoon. Honourable Chair, thank you very much. That is the story from our side.
Thanks very much, Eli. You have been able to take us through the presentation. You say that the other one is much more of a comprehensive document. Okay, I see. The accompanying documents.
Yes.
The accompanying documents that we need to read through, they contain quite areas of details that whatever that we may want. Members, I don't know from your side, any, is there any of your team members who want to allow some clarities? Okay. Members, any clarity? We're joined by Mr. Mtele, honorable member from Limpopo. Okay. Now, we are in full complement of our committee. The standing member who apologized because of ill health. We treat it that way. He's going through a very tough time, I think. She's quite ill. So, can I hear if there are clarities? I think the presentation was very self-explanatory. And you say you align the budget with capacity to spend consistently. The budget is a reflection of how also the department spending capacity. But also you said the composition of our budget is changing to, is growing much more to address priorities of government. So the changing composition of our budget to be aligned to our priorities. Any questions? Mr. Mteleni, Julius, you are welcome to ask questions here. Our committee doesn't deal with fiction here, we deal with facts. So, okay, shall we have later? Okay, Mr. Mteleni.
Okay, could be attributed to the fact that I catch wind faster. Let me, on page 6, where there's this graph which you know, explains the consolidated expenditure by economic classification. I've got one question which I need to raise or forward to you, that that's where you explain that payment for financial assets is the fastest declining area of expenditure. And I just want to know if it does any country, this country, any good or a favor if payment for the financial assets decline in this area of expenditure. Does it do this country any good? And maybe that one will be followed by this simple one. This has always been the one from at some stage. I'm one person who, you know, keep abreast, week in and week out, you know, business, you know, page in all the newspapers, where I find this repeating information about the PRASA, but the Gautrain division, where you find that the taxpayers continue to fork out 84 million on a month to month. And I want to know if what is exactly the actual budget to run that institution? Well, seemingly on a month to month, we are bound to fork 84 million rand. And I don't know if this could mean that the budget that, you know, Treasury gives those that institution, it's very little, or maybe they demand more. And I also want to touch on the issue of next last year. Because you see, as a country, we are spending a lot of money on loans. I think these are, you know, loans that we give to students. And what I want to know here is, I don't know if there's a balance between the two. The loans that are being given to students, and also the part of seeing them, you know, being absorbed by departments and also private sector. I just want to ask for maybe a bit of a breakdown on that one. How many have we spent so far in the, you know, previous financial year on this NSFAS scheme? And also, are we getting a balance, or do we just continue to give these loans and not worrying about how many we are absorbing? Because the very same business section of the newspaper explains more about students. Some of them have been qualified for the past 5 years, but they are not being absorbed by the department. And whereas when they took, you know, when they attended signatures on the process line, the department promised them that, you know, they will, you know, along the way be absorbed and, you know, form part of the personnel in the government institution. And maybe lastly, are we as government trying to do something to make sure that we seek employment, especially for those who got these loans? Is government in any way assisting those students, the qualified students, to make sure that they get employed elsewhere in the country? Thank you.
Mr. Gaeda? Well, there are some of the questions which also have been clarified largely during the debate of higher education in terms of how much is appropriated, in terms of areas of skills that the country requires, and the constraining factors in terms of that the country's fiscal cannot expand in proportions that it may require. But it has got to be incremental over a period of time. There are some of the issues that are clarified, but however, I'll allow the budget, Mr. Henry, to comment if you, there are some areas that you want to clarify. Because, I mean, the main question is on the public entity PRASA, what are related challenges given the funding composition of PRASA? And then Mr. Gaela?
Yeah, no, Chairperson, it's not really a question. You know, we must have a congregation that at least talks now you're not going to be sure whether you got a congregation or you're alone in the committee. Now, basically, I just want to compliment you on this report. Secondly, I'm happy that you are going to oversight the public entities. It's been long overdue. And if you look at the department, you look at agriculture, most of the money goes to public entities. So one is happy that you at least going to do something about oversighting them. Thank you very much for that. Because the government is losing a lot of money on public entities which are not being oversighted. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Can I give Charles an opportunity?
Yeah, it's only a telemark. What we have in front of us is a result of the fiscal policy followed by government and the revenue that we get. This is based on that. I just want to give that input. Our role as Select Committee on Appropriations Chairperson is enormous to do the oversight of what is in front of us. Specific to 847 billion rand for infrastructure development. And that we have to engage before we adjourn December on the quarterly report on spending, specific on the conditional grants going to provinces. But as, and this is not the Select Committee of Finance, but in finance, calling the nine provincial treasuries to come and account what happens since the 1st of April, starting of the new financial year, although we've got a new administration. Referring to our oversight role. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Charles. Let me allow Treasury to make comments. Julius, you want to say something before? Okay, that's just before.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think I'll take the call to just ask the question. But mine was also on, I didn't understand the Nusfat stuff so well. Okay, look through it, I understand it now. You don't need to go back and explain it. I think part of that for 24.2 billion will go to part of it, and not all of it. But I just wanted to know, since I'm here, I wanted to know if you can answer it. Did they pay the transfers to these two universities yet for this year? Just want to know, before we budget again, did they actually pay the transfers for this year and this first transfer?
Thank you very much. Members, I think let's allow Treasury to make comments.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members, for the questions. I'm sure I'm not going to be able to answer all of them. I think some of these questions would best be directed to the accounting officers of those individual departments. I'm going to try my best, and I'm going to try not to stick my foot in it. In doing that, I do have a wife and children, and I might get fired, so let me not go down that road. I think firstly, just on the issue of the payments for financial assets, these are basically once-off type transactions that hit our books. So if you start looking at growth rates on those, you quite often find that they are quite funny in the way that they go through the book. So you might have one big amount that goes through in a specific financial year. So if you remember a few years back, we had the Sambo Bank bailout. So that went through as a financial transaction. Now, if you then calculate the growth rate the next year, then suddenly there's a huge decline. And it's also related to some of the transactions that we run through the South African Reserve Bank when it comes to our foreign currency transactions. So there are some losses and gains that also goes through this item. In the past, we actually put this item below the line because it really just sometimes confused the calculation of your surplus and deficit. But I think international organizations have kind of put a bit of pressure on us, and we've also reconsidered. I think this item is a very small item nowadays. So bringing it above the line doesn't really have a huge impact. But it is a funny item, you know, when you look at that. So sometimes it's like equity contributions, or we sell some of our equity stake in an entity, we get special dividends and those kind of things. And all those kind of small, let me not call it funny money, goes through the books in that way. You know, if you want some of the detail of that, we can provide the committee with a detailed breakdown of what is included in there, so that everybody is just on the same page when it comes to that. On the PRASA issue, I would rather suggest that we ask our budget analyst that deals with PRASA to prepare a little note for the committee around what exactly is going on there. We don't have all the detailed numbers with us yet. The one thing that I can say is that you know, some of the money that is going through the books at the moment is just to kind of deal with the fluctuations in the value of the currency in order to assist them with that contract value. As you know, the currency has taken quite a bit of a beating over the last 2 years or so, and that has really impacted quite dramatically, not just on them, but many other departments. So your health departments that purchase equipment from overseas, those type of departments do need some assistance in order to deal with that. I think the whole issue of the student loans and what we are doing on that is a fairly complex issue. I think there's been a lot of issues within the NSFAS, but I think the NSFAS has gone through quite a good turnaround. They've got new board members and new processes in place. I think they've got a whole new process of actually allocating money to universities that works a lot better than the previous process. So to kind of you know, link on to your comment, I think they are in the process of trying to deal with that. Again, NSFAS, not my speciality. I've been involved in one or two conversations around that, and therefore the comment. But importantly enough, that education portion that you've seen there, that's not just NSFAS. That is a much bigger pot of money that goes through. On the issue of the students and how we are taking them on board and absorbing them, I think from my side, the only thing that I can say is that we've got a fairly strong interns program in government that does absorb quite a number of students that comes through the system. Now, if that interns program is specifically focused on employing NSFAS students, I'm sure it is not, but there is a general program in order to deal with the absorption of some of the qualifying students. When it comes to the NSFAS, there are issues of throughput rates and things that need to be considered and stuff like that. I think if the committee is not kind of satisfied with the debate that happened previously on the education, I could ask our NSFAS specialists to also prepare a note that can come through to the committee if that would be useful. And I think that's roughly the comments. I think thank you, honourable members, for the support on the public entities. I think it's a very difficult environment because they run a different kind of an accounting arrangement. They are outside of the systems of government. You know, at this point in time, I think from the National Treasury side, we have got very good insight into national provinces because we've got access to their financial systems. Public entities run completely outside of the process, and we are now in a process of dragging them in. We've initiated first steps now by implementing a quarterly reporting system for public entities. And I'm sure that, you know, as this reporting system matures, We will then also include that in our quarterly reports that comes through to these committees. I don't want to make a commitment as to when. You know, we've only initiated it this year, and we first have to see what is the quality of data that comes through there. But we want to push hard in order to get there. I think there's quite a bit of reserves building up in our public entities that we can't really explain properly, and that we do need to think in a bit of a different way as to how are we going to utilize that for improved service delivery. Honourable Chair, thank you. I think that's as far as I can go with this one.
Thanks very much. I think that's a very adequate briefing. I also want to indicate that we did have our discussion with the budget office previously, which was quite a useful exercise because it also touched on the macroeconomic deal with a range of issues. And their presentation today clearly focuses us on the appropriation at the background. So thanks very much, Jenny, for the presentation. And I want hopefully members agree. Of course, we'll take it that should your specialist on NSFAS want to provide further information, it is welcome to the committee. We'll welcome that information, but also we'll take the input that members have made, that we'll also use this as a tool to monitor expenditure and to particularly the interest on the conditional grant spending around areas of conditional grant. I believe that our, what we call the program that will come, the second term program, will factor in some of the areas particularly that we have to do as a committee. So thanks for the briefing, and I'll ask the committee secretary to just advise, because we have to adopt the report as a committee. This is a true reflection of what the bill, the report about the bill. Remember that the National Assembly has dealt extensively with this appropriation bill, and we are at the last stages of finalizing the appropriation. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President. I understand that my colleague has circulated the draft report, so it's just a one-paragraph report, the standard report that we normally adopt when we deal with this legislation. It is different to the report that we adopt when we consider the division of revenue or bill. So this is a report reason for the report of the Select Committee on Appropriation on the Appropriation Bill before 2014, National Assembly Section 77, dated 29 July 2014. The Select Committee on Appropriation, having considered the Appropriation Bill before 2014, referred to it and classified by the joint taking mechanism as a Section 77 bill, reports that it has agreed to the bill without amendment. Reports to be considered.
Thank you very much.
The Democratic Alliance situation is that we at this stage abstain from voting on this report, supporting this report.
Yes, this stage is not a voting, it's more of an adoption of the report. The committee report. Thanks. Shall
Chairperson, I propose that the committee adopt this report. The voting will take place on Thursday afternoon on the schedule. That will be quite a lengthy meeting, a plenary, when we do the voting on the schedule. So I propose adoption of the report.
Thanks. Mr. Kashupin.
I second the adoption of the report.
I think the clarity is provided that the voting on the schedule will take place on Thursday, and then we agree the committee report. So, committee, we agree that the committee has approved the report for tabling in the House. Thanks. much, members. We'll go back and thank very much for the presentation, Mr. Henny and the team. And we'll go to the next item. We have done with the consideration and adoption of the report. So the minutes. Can we approve the minutes of the previous meeting? They were circulated. Yes, if any of you are allowed to, if you want to leave, you thank very much. Thank you for the meeting. Yes. On the minutes, Charles, yes? Okay, honorable member, we have moved for adoption. Okay, seconded, friendly. Thanks very much. Is there any other matter? Yes,
with regard to the minutes, though, I agree that this is a true reflection of what transpired. I'm not sure if there is any provision made for people to raise matters arising from the meeting. I'm saying this thing because I was not happy with one aspect that was handled in the last meeting. And I think we were not properly advised by the professor who was in the instance of it.
Well, it's in order. In fact, we need to. The best way is to start with minutes of the previous meeting so that we check whether there are matters that are arising, so that we can deal with them. Because it does the procedural matter. So now we started by asking our presenters to start first. So we take note of what you say, but should there be matters arising from the previous minutes, it's in order to raise it in a meeting. Thank you. I'm advised that the draft program will be circulated for the next term. So, if the draft program is circulated, and the things we have. Thank you very much, members, for being in attendance of this meeting to receive the briefing on the appropriation bill and also the finalization of the report of the appropriation bill to the House for Thursday. That will allow us to conclude the process, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.